This morning's reading is taken from Luke chapter 5, verses 12 to 16. Jesus heals a man with leprosy. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more, so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their illnesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed.
As you've reflected on your experience of lockdown, I wonder how you felt about the whole idea of having to socially isolate. For some, I guess it won't have been much of a problem because they don't like being with people anyway. But what about the rest of us? I'm sure that there'll be many of us who have welcomed the opportunity to meet with six friends last week and maybe even were happy to return to work and see their boss again. Amazingly, it won't be very long before some of us will be delighted that we can go and see the dentist again. What strange times we're living in. But what about social distancing? How have you found yourself responding not only to the idea of having to be in a house away from your friends, but also having to maintain a distance of 2 metres apart from others whenever you're shopping or even walking along the road? How have you responded to the suggestion of wearing a face mask in public places to protect you from others and to protect others from you? Have you felt a little bit awkward as you were walking along the road and someone sees you up ahead and crosses over the road to the other side? And you know that they've done that because they don't want to be within 6 foot of you. Did you feel glad because you didn't want to be within 6 foot of them? Or did you feel a little bit put out that somebody should purposely avoid making contact with you? Now, we know that this arrangement is only going to be temporary, but just imagine having to live your whole life where people cross over the road when they see you coming, where people intentionally keep their distance from you, where people would consider you as being infectious of disease, unclean, and therefore someone to be avoided. Just imagine having to spend the whole of your entire adult life socially distancing yourself from people and experiencing contempt from people if you go anywhere near them. Well, that may well have been how the man with leprosy who approached Jesus in this story we read earlier may well have felt and lived. And maybe our current experience of lockdown and social distancing will help us to appreciate and maybe even identify a little more today with the experience of this man. Leprosy and other skin conditions were deemed in Jesus' culture as being ceremonially unclean. And that goes right back to the time of Moses when the children of Israel were travelling around the wilderness. There may have been as many as 2 million people at some point on that journey, and there were no hospitals or daycare centres. And so when people encountered certain illnesses that were highly contagious, it posed a serious risk to the whole community. So God included in his law specific instructions that had to be put into place to protect his people from infection. This is what God said in his law in Leviticus 13 about those who had certain skin diseases. Anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt, cover the lower part of their face and cry out, "Unclean! Unclean!" As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. Unclean. They must live alone. They must live outside the camp. So they had to be isolated from the community. They probably wrapped themselves up in bandages to try and protect their skin and also to protect themselves generally, because if they had leprosy, then it damaged their nerve endings, so they couldn't feel pain and therefore they could easily bruise and hurt themselves without realizing it. Instead of greeting people with, "Hello, good to see you," and embracing them, they had to demean themselves by shouting, "Unclean," so that people would keep their distance from them. What a desperately sad situation. And as a result, people with leprosy and other skin diseases would either live on their own or they would join together with other people with similar conditions to form their own communities, which in turn led to them continually spreading the disease amongst them. In the story we read today, we are introduced to one man who'd been living with a horrible skin disease. We don't know if he was part of a separatist community or just self-isolated on his own. But what we do know is that this man made a decision to approach Jesus to see if he would heal him. And I want to suggest that his approach to Jesus is a good one for all of us to follow when we're seeking healing or provision or guidance or anything from Jesus. This is what it says in verse 12 of Luke chapter 5. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." I want to take this verse in reverse and note three attitudes that this man had when approaching Jesus. This man wanted Jesus to heal him, and he believed that Jesus could. When he approached Jesus, he said to him, "You can make me clean." He believed that Jesus could heal him. How he had come to that opinion, we're not told. Matthew's version of the story, however, says that Jesus had been teaching his Sermon on the Mount, and then when he came down from the mountain, that's when this man approached him. So maybe this man had heard that Jesus had been healing sick people, or maybe had seen somebody being healed. And maybe somehow from a distance he had listened to Jesus' teaching when he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." And maybe this man identified with that experience. Or maybe he heard Jesus later in the Sermon on the Mount say, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door be opened to you. For everyone who asks seeks, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened." And he thought he would go and ask and seek and knock at Jesus' door for his healing. He may not have fully understood who Jesus was, but he believed that Jesus could heal him. And I think it's worth reflecting in our own lives as to whether or not we believe that Jesus could change the situations that we are experiencing or we are facing. Whether it be an issue to do with health or some other area that's causing great concern within our lives, do we believe that Jesus could change things? We might believe that Jesus really did exist, and we might believe that he died and rose again. We might even have asked him into our life to be our Lord and Saviour, and we might love him for what he's done in bringing us forgiveness and salvation, and we might worship him with thanksgiving as a result. But despite doing all of those things, when it comes to the practical application of the power of God in our everyday life, do we actually believe that Jesus could right now deal with the things that trouble us most? When Jesus walked the earth, he said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." But after Jesus had left the earth and ascended into heaven, Peter taught the church that this caring of Jesus is still available. He said, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." In other words, the care of Jesus is still available. It's not limited to one period of time 2,000 years ago in one geographical region, but it's available always, everywhere. And the Lord doesn't call us to just cast our cares on him as if he was some kind of divine therapist and all we're doing is psychologically offloading all our problems onto him. It's far more than that. Jesus wants us to cast all our cares upon him, believing that he could actually do something about them. The second thing I want us to think about is that this man did believe that Jesus could heal him, but I want to suggest that he didn't approach Jesus believing or demanding or assuming that Jesus should heal him. He didn't assume that Jesus should heal him just because he could heal him. Instead, he came to Jesus in an attitude of humility. The text says, when he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him. I've never been particularly comfortable with the idea of setting up healing services. I know many people are absolutely fine with them and I don't judge them for that. But for me, I feel like the moment I set up a service and refer to it as a healing service, I'm basically dictating to God what he should do. God, you can heal. So I've booked you in for Thursday night at 8 o'clock to do your stuff. I'm also not comfortable when some people, when they're praying for someone's healing, are almost commanding Jesus to heal. Heal, Jesus, come heal this person now by your power. As if Jesus is at our beck and call, having to do what we say. But Jesus is not our genie for us to call upon, who is here to serve us and grant us our wishes. We are called to serve him and to do his will, not him to do ours. And perhaps even worse, if the person doesn't get well, some people judge them for not having enough faith, telling them that because Jesus wants to heal everyone, if they're not healed, then it must be their fault, which adds further emotional, psychological, and spiritual pain to what is already there. Surely the Lord is not happy with this particular approach. Do I believe that Jesus can heal? Absolutely yes. But who am I to tell Jesus what to do, where to do it, and when to do it? I would much prefer that we offer the invitation for people to be prayed for at every service, on every occasion, in every location, rather than just the ones that we have particularly designated for him to work in. I also don't believe that Jesus should administer his power because we think we or someone else deserves it. I have at times heard well-intentioned prayers, and sometimes they come out of my own mouth, whereas we're praying for people to be healed, we say something like, Lord, you know how faithful they've been in service for you. And while such prayers are well-intentioned, I'm not convinced that God brings healing because we deserve it or that we've earned it as some kind of performance-related reward. But rather his healing is an outworking of his grace. And that's why this series is entitled Galilean Grace, because it's focusing on the work of Jesus in the life of a community of people in a particular region at a particular time where none of them deserved anything that Jesus was offering. But all of them had the opportunity to receive what he was offering. And people were changed in Galilee when they allowed their lives to be touched by the grace of Jesus. And we can be changed wherever we are when we allow our lives to be touched by the grace of Jesus also. This man believed that Jesus could heal him, but he didn't assume that Jesus should heal him. He wasn't arrogantly telling Jesus what he should do, but rather was a man who was humbly urging Jesus that he might be willing. And this is the third point. He said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. The man believed that Jesus could. He didn't assume that Jesus should, but he humbly asked that Jesus would. And of course, this is a very important stage in the process, because if we believe that God can heal our bodies or our circumstances, unless we actually ask him to do so, then it just remains a theological concept. It's not always easy, though, is it, to step out in faith? For this man, it would not have been easy for him to approach Jesus. He knew how people would respond to him because he had leprosy. He knew that Jesus was surrounded by people, and so as he advanced towards Jesus, he would have encountered so much rejection from them, shooing him away from their presence. He had no real certainty that Jesus would, in fact, accept him. He knew that Jesus would have known the law and all of the ceremonial requirements associated with skin diseases. This man had to overcome the barrier of embarrassment and shame, the fear of resistance and humiliation. So much stood in his way, and yet he overcame them all sufficiently enough to get himself to the feet of Jesus so that he could make his appeal to him. Would Jesus be willing to make him clean? Well, he couldn't be certain. He just knew that Jesus could make him clean, so he asked that he would. And as Jesus looked at this man, he did for him something that perhaps had not been done for him for many, many years. It says in verse 13 that Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Nobody does that to someone with leprosy, as not only would it cause a person to become ceremonially unclean, but they could also become infected themselves. But that didn't faze Jesus, for he is greater than any sickness, and he touched the man. It's been shown time and time again in pastoral care that the simple touch of a hand can mean so much for those who are sick, elderly, lonely, or afraid. And that personal touch would have meant so much to this man who probably hadn't received the loving touch from anyone for a long period of time. It was a sign of love, a sign of acceptance, a sign of welcome, a sign that would have restored something of this man's dignity and humanity that this awful disease had robbed him of. And then Jesus followed that gentle touch with the wonderful words that this man had longed to hear. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. What a fantastic outcome. One moment his whole body was covered with this skin disease. The next moment his entire body was clear. And the knock-on effect of all of this was not only a physical transformation for this man. It wasn't just skin deep, this act of grace. But also it was a social transformation. He would now be able to engage again with community, maybe even return to the family that he may have had to become separate from because of the disease. Maybe now he would be able to return to work within the community and even go and worship God in the temple area. Wonderful! One touch from Jesus, one word from Jesus, and this man's life was totally changed. And it led to many other hearing about it and receiving healing also. And so I think there are a few things that we could take away from this short passage of scripture that could be applied to our own lives. Maybe like the man with leprosy, we may need to take a step of faith and invite the Lord to do something in our lives with issues that we have lived with for many years. And whilst it may seem hard and maybe we have to overcome a number of hurdles to do this, Jesus says, "Come to me." And our response is to do so with humility, believing that he could, not assuming that he should, but asking that he would work his power in us. Secondly, maybe as we ponder this story, we could ask ourselves if there are any people who we know who we would deem in one way or another to be unclean. Maybe people who we intentionally avoid or who for one reason or another we have an aversion towards. Maybe someone who we have fallen out with, who we're not speaking to at the moment. Why not reflect on how Jesus responded to this man with compassion and ask the Lord to help you to develop that same attitude towards others? Thirdly, maybe the response of Jesus towards this man expressing his willingness to make him clean is a good prompt for us to ask, are we willing to be the channel of God's love to others this week? Are we willing to help others who are in distress? Are we willing to help others to be set free? And finally, another application could be to appreciate afresh how Jesus has touched our lives and made us spiritually clean. Because we were sinners and God is a holy God, we were unable to approach God. Our sin separated us from him, perhaps a little bit like a person with leprosy was separated from their community. But because of Jesus taking upon himself the punishment for our sin, we are forgiven and restored back to a right relationship with God. He has cleansed us from our sin. And as we sang earlier on, boldly now I can approach the throne room of heaven because we can do so now in Jesus' name. As it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And with that thought, we're now just going to end our service with a time of sharing and communion together to thank Jesus for his touch upon our lives, for cleansing us from sin through his sacrifice upon the cross. As we prepare to do that, Derek's going to lead us in the song, "We Worship at Your Feet."
Come and see, come and see, come Come and see the King of Love, see the purple robe and crown of thorns he wears. Soldiers mock, rulers sneer, as he lifts the cruel cross. Lone and friendless now, he climbs towards the hill. We worship at your feet, where wrath and mercy meet, and a guilty world is washed by love's pure stream. For us he was made sin, oh help me take it in. Deep wounds of love cry out, Father, forgive. I worship the Lamb who was slain. Come and weep, come and mourn, for your sin that pierced him there. So much deeper than the wounds of thorn and nail. All our pride, all our greed, all our fallenness and shame, and the Lord has laid the punishment on him. We worship at your feet, where wrath and mercy meet, and the guilty world is washed by love's pure stream. For us he was made sin, oh help me take it in. Deep winds of love cry out, Father, forgive. I worship the Lamb who was slain.
Let's pray together. Lord, we gather here to come and see, to remember and thank you for your perfect sacrifice as the Lamb which was slain. We thank you for your amazing love. We thank you for paying the price for our sin and offering us forgiveness in your name. We thank you for this bread and this wine, symbols of your broken body and your blood poured out for us. The Apostle Paul teaches the church that everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup, so that their heart is right towards God and towards one another, and if not, to confess that and seek to put that right. It says in 1 John 1, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. Jesus is still in the business of making us clean. So let's have a moment of quiet prayer as we reflect and examine ourselves and, where necessary, bring to God our prayers of confession. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." At this point, please take the bread, and if you're with others, please distribute it to them, and let's eat the bread as we receive it with thanksgiving, remembering that Christ calls us to be his follower. He welcomes us as his friend. He calls us as his family, and he invites us to become part of his story. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." At this point, please take the cup, and if you're with others, please distribute it to them, but hold on to the cup for a moment so we can drink together. Though we drink from many cups today, we remember that in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each belongs to all the others. Drink and remember that Christ died for you. He offers you forgiveness, he calls you his own, and he restores your soul. Let's drink together. Whenever we eat this bread and we drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And now may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon us and remain with us and with those who we love this day and forever. Amen.